So don't be scared of, oh, we got a game tomorrow, guys are going to be sore. If you stay consistent, guys are going to be fine. Guys are going to keep improving. Make sure they're still doing something.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches podcast, we're joined by Ernie Contreras, performance coach and director of basketball at the University of San Diego. Coach Contreras has built a strong career in strength and conditioning with stops at Santa Clara, Holy Names, Texas Tech, and experience at the G League and NBA levels before arriving at USD. His background gives him a unique perspective on developing athletes across different levels and environments. In this episode, we discuss how to build a strength program when rosters are constantly changing with different body types and backgrounds, advice for coaches working without high-level resources or equipment, and how to develop mental toughness in players during preseason workouts.
Coach, are you still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help trade in your machine any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. Plus, you get free shipping on your purchase of a brand new Dr. Dish.
Welcome back, everyone. Alan Major, Doug Caputo here today with another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. Today, we are excited. We're joined with the performance coach and director of basketball at the University of San Diego. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Ernie Contreras. Coach Contreras, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
You got it, brother. Good to see you again.
Oh, man.
Video screen, but in-person screen, whatever, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, always love. So I'm glad to be on here and help you guys out and get some good story time.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
No, we appreciate that. And I got to say the one thing, too, and looking prior to seeing the things that you've done, and the number one thing I'll say, even talking with some coaches, so to give people a frame of reference, when we're recording this, we just got back from Indy from the Final Four. So you hear and talk when and we get opportunities to talk with so many coaches and from the basketball portion of it, and I'm sure you know this for obviously being on both sides, but the strength and conditioning, the preseason stuff that gets implemented in programs are pivotal. And those are the things that are like build the program ultimately before in the preseason to be able to get the guys up and moving. So this type of thing is huge for coaches to learn, especially maybe the coaches that don't have people like you who have these positions where they have to run their own strength and conditioning. So these type of things are going to be great for coaches to learn about.
Yeah, no question. It's grown a lot. I know you came out of football, like everyone wanted a football strength coach and then trickled in. And now you're really seeing the specialty of guys that are really diving into the basketball performance side and really helping guys transition from like player development to helping the coaches to bridging this thing into you're with them all year. So you're traveling and you're making sure that everything's taken care of from every single bucket. So it's really come a long way. And I'm blessed to have been at a lot of different stops and been able to take a lot of different things from people and just trying to do my best to help the guys, help the coaching staff every single day. So that's my goal. Yeah.
No, it shows, man. It shows. Just being around you for the 6 months I was there is really
– We got to have a little more time.
Yeah, no doubt. But no, I think what people are going to pull from this, listening to you today, is number one, you have a great approach. And in terms of player relations, your effort to connect with guys is crucial because, again, people talk about coaches dealing with different teams every year. That affects you, too.
Yeah, no question.
And so your ability to be relational and figure out the new 12 or new 11 or 10 or, in our case, last year, 14 that came through the door, your ability to connect with those guys from the jump is a big deal. So as we get into this, I think that's something that people are really going to enjoy hearing about.
Yeah, relationships are huge, man. That's the number one thing. If they don't trust you, like on the coaching side, I know you're big on all the mental approach, different way to talk to different guys, finding your angles. If you don't figure that out, it's going to be a long year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Even from my standpoint, I'm not going to be able to get it. It doesn't matter how good my program or whiteboard or whatever I want to toss these guys or my warm up. If I don't have that, it's over. So that's always the number one thing on my heart since I was an intern.
No question.
To the top guy, it doesn't matter. I got to be a good relationship guy. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's huge.
No, it shows, man. It shows.
You bring up a great point there, too. And that's one thing. So, like, I was fortunate to have a high school coach, a college coach that all believed in the strength and conditioning side. So I was able to see it. Now, I know there's some programs that don't necessarily implement it maybe as much or at all. But you mentioned, like, the mental side of it. And that is huge, I feel like, from the strength and conditioning side. Because people think a lot of times the weight room is just getting in there, pushing some weights around, getting bigger, stronger. You look in the mirror, you're a little more, maybe build some confidence. But like majority of the time, one of the big things, and please, I'd love to hear your input on this, but it's the mental aspect. One thing my coach used to always do was, and I love this and I implement this now when I can, is he would always go, I want you to give me 10 reps. You get down, you do 10 reps. We'll say it's on the bench or whatever. You knock out 10. And as soon as you do that, he goes, all right, now give me one more. Now give me one more. And basically what it is, it's like an old military thing of pushing yourself past the limit that you initially had. Do you guys do something like that when you're working out, or is like, how do you build that mental strength up over the time?
I've done a bunch of different things, but I think it goes into some of the off season stuff you were saying, like in the summers. This is something I stole from Coach Riley at Texas Tech, is we'd always do like a fun Friday. We didn't do it this summer, but like we take the guys out of the weight room and then just do a fun workout. So they didn't know what they were getting into. So one day it'd be like, hey, meet me on the sand pit on the volleyball courts. And then all the guys would walk up, music's blasting. Now we got a bunch of different things that we haven't done in the weight room that day. And it's just like an outdoor workout. There was one time we took, when I was at Santa Clara, I was like, hey, meet me at this spot at 7 a.m. And then I'd set up like a bunch of barbells, chains, all in the parking garage. And then we're just blasting music in there. And I had, we're carrying stuff around, cones and curling in there. And it was crazy. It was organized chaos. Dudes are running upstairs with, it was just like something different. Got guys out of there. Try to build the team up, and you know, it was just like something different. Like they didn't know what they were walking into that day, and it's like, all right, this is a challenge of the day, let's attack it. So it's something like that in the summer. And then going to your point on some of the reps and stuff, I think I'll catch a guy off guard one day and he's going through whatever we have laid out or a program that day, and it's now I'm behind him like, hey, you got another one. That's a similar thing you're saying there. And sometimes like they're going to squeeze out a little bit more than they thought they could, and I think that goes into your point of what you experienced where you're getting a couple extra reps, whatever it is. I catch you. We're doing this safe, and I'm leading the charge on that. But for the most part, I think I like that summertime to do that. The other part of it is just making sure guys are comfortable in here too. This is what we're going to do this all year. So like it's creating a routine, and that's something I got to steal from being in the NBA. Like my first time being in a collegiate environment, I was like, man, I got to do something different so these guys don't get bored. And now I'm like just throwing different. I don't want to lose the guys in season. Like, I'm going to sprinkle this in. And then as I saw how pros attacked it every single day, if I threw something new to NBA vets, no, we're not doing that. We're doing the same thing on the road. We're doing the same thing at home. We're doing the same thing in the hotel weight room. And that really gave me another outlook on, man, it's okay to do lock in and create a routine with the guy. And if we're going through from what the ticks I need, then that's fine. Let's stick to that. Let's create your routine. You got your shooting routine right after. And now they're ready for practice because they went to the training room, they came to me, they shot with a GA or a PD coach, and then they're ready to get on the court once coach gets out there, and now they've already ticked all those boxes. That's fine. So that's something big I stole from just observing how those vets attack every single day for that amount of games and are able to lock in no matter what's going on, changing cities, didn't sleep well somewhere else. Is man, these guys really lock in and they really do that every day. And I think that, not to go on a rant or anything, but I think when some of this load management stuff people see, and I know every team does it different, but sometimes they're all guys sitting out. And sometimes those guys that aren't playing, they've gone through a harder workout before the game started, and then they're sitting out that day. So everyone's, oh, they didn't do it. And it's like, he came, he got a good lift, he got a good skill session in, he got his treatment, and then now he's ready off that back to perform on that Saturday night. Yeah, I know every team doesn't do it, or a kid maybe misses him on the road, but sometimes that's appropriate depending on what's going on in that guy's body. And it's not like he's not doing anything that day. I don't think the typical fan doesn't realize that. That guy actually did a lot before he went and sat in the corner with a bucket full of popcorn. So,
nah, you know what's funny? I'm glad you said that, man, because obviously a lot of media people haven't touched the ball before. Or maybe that's why they did do it, because they didn't, it didn't go well when they touched the ball. Exactly. They decided, let's grab a pen or get in front of a camera. But sometimes that does get overblown. And case in point, like I went up to Oceanside a couple of weeks ago and caught the last G League game of the season. And Cam Reddish was on the roster from Duke.
Oh, yeah.
He played about 8 minutes, 6 to 8 minutes between the first and second quarter, sat the rest of the game, rode the bike the entire rest of the game.
Yeah.
Now he'd get off the bike and go get in timeouts.
Yeah.
He had a towel around his neck and timeouts over. He'd go right down the end of the bench and sat and rode the bike the entire rest of the game. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. People might, and again, maybe he's coming off of something, or maybe the big team, he's probably a two-way guy.
Yeah.
So the big team, hey, you know what? Get Cam a couple minutes, just get him loose, let him get some reps. And then why don't you go ahead and sit him, because we're probably going to bring him up in a week and that kind of thing. So you never know what conversations are being had. No All question. People do, like you said, they just see a guy sitting and they just, it's easy. That's the easy route to take, is just start crushing something, because typically we crush stuff we don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. No question.
It's great that you said that, because there's a lot more behind the scenes going on than meets the eye, no doubt.
Yeah. The D League's a different beast too, man. That's a Wild West down there, man. You dump a guy down there and it's
new flying. Guys.
The pace is insane. Smaller guards, guys are flying around. I remember we'd have two-way guys come down, and I'd be like, hey, like it'd be a two-way's first time ever coming down to the G League. Maybe he was with a big club for camp, and then he was up there for preseason, and then they finally set him on assignment. And then all of a sudden, you'd be like, hey, man, just relax. Like, it's going to be crazy. You're going to come out the first time out, and you're going to be like, that's insane, because you're not used to that pace, because it's just crazy. And every time you come out, oh, man, that's crazy out there. And then he'd settle in his game and figure it out and go to work, just because he was that much more talented. But it was interesting to see that difference of how the style of play can just throw a guy off sometimes. So you got to
corner. For sure.
You're going to be fine. Trust me.
Exactly.
With all that like buildup that you have to do too, how do you, or I should say like when you were in the G League, when you were in the NBA, how did you guys prep those guys for those, that first media timeout you're mentioning before they even come out? Because the conditioning, I'm sure, the strength obviously is a completely different level. I know everybody always says 1% of high school athletes go on to college. Now, I'm sure that number has drastically dropped since the transfer portal has started, but I don't know that for a fact. But like, I'm pretty sure if it's not even lower than 1% go from college to the NBA and professional. So how do you prep those guys for that next step going from college to then the NBA, the league?
Yeah, I think it goes back to creating that routine, making like most guys, once they come into a college environment, like whether they lift it or not, I don't think they've worked out at this pace or some of the movements we're doing. Like it's going to be a little shock to the body, even on the court. So now you're coming in the summer and you're in here almost every day. You're on the court every day. You're trying to do your extra work. I feel like you see a lot of young guys and it's, I'm a gym rat. And then all of a sudden it's bam, they get hit by that first 2 weeks of summer. It's, man, I got to lay in bed all weekend. It's, there's a lot to this. So like pace yourself, create a routine. Still hit your spot shots at night. You don't got to go crazy if you want to come back in the gym. And now all of a sudden you can't move in practice and coach is yelling at you. So it's be smart. So that's the other part of it. It's like everyone wants to see this like Kobe mentality. And that's really good to have. But if you kill yourself and now you can't move in practice, coach is going to yell at you. Now you're mad at yourself. And like now you're just digging in a deeper hole. So it's understanding that like you got to do everything. Like our trainer and I are really close. Our athletic trainer, Alexis, I know you guys had her on here. So it's like we're making sure you're getting the correct recovery as well. So that's a big piece of it. If you can't recover, you're not going to be able to perform when a coach is yelling at you. I think it's really important to educate them, understand that, hey, you don't got to do it all. It's not the end of the world. You don't got to just throw a bunch of paint at it. So be smart, be consistent, listen to the coaches, know what they expect at practice, keep doing the right thing, and you're going to keep improving. So there's steps to this. So like at Jalen Williams, when he was at Santa Clara, from his recruiting visit till I left his September going into his junior year before he left to the league. But this kid came in 6'1", grew, wingspan grew. I've never seen that before. Wingspan grew when he was in a sophomore and came back. So he grew, wingspan grew. And his freshman year, he got on the court because he was just guarding guys. Like no one even knew he could score. So he all of a sudden he's in the starting five with a bunch of transfers. We had a really good team that year. And he's on the court because he's just guarding guys. Now he's in the corner three. Then all of a sudden, his sophomore year, he's bringing the ball up, clearing guys out, getting in the lane, dumping it off. You're like, man, put the ball in that guy's hand next year. And then all of a sudden, you just saw every year, step by step, him improving. Like his body changed from his sophomore to junior year when I had him that summer like crazy. Vertical increased like 5 inches. So it was like really cool to just have him trust me. We got after it. And he had a really big summer, and I was like, you just saw everything come together from him, from the core standpoint to his body changing. And then you saw that same development with him even being in the league. Really cool story of a guy just being smart, staying steady-minded, finding different ways to get on the court, not trying to do everything all at once, and everything came together for him. I thought that was a real cool story. Obviously, he was blessed with some length and some inches on height, but it's cool to just say, hey, why can't you be a good college basketball player from just sticking to your routine, doing the right things, getting better every single year? So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's like the Scottie Pippen almost.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
So late.
Exactly.
That's a freakazoid deal, man.
Exactly.
When that happens, man, like, you get one of those every 20, 30 years.
But for sure. I'm not sure I'll see that one yet, but it was cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it look like for you as you get a new group? And as coaches, we have to get them assembled and then just create a group.
Yeah, no question.
Then we pick off guys individually as they start getting there, and then you start pulling them aside and doing their individual stuff. It looks, to spell that out, how that goes for you, because a lot of people think strength coaches just bring guys in the weight room and every single guy does the exact same thing. Well, and there was a time for that, and maybe there is a shell that guys do, but then there's an individual side to this for each guy too. Just like we have skill development individually, you have group stuff that you do, and then you got individual stuff. So how do you just talk about how you lay that out?
No question. That's a great question. As a new roster is coming in, I always like to know where a guy's from. And for me, it helps because I'm a basketball junkie. So even if coach is recruiting someone, and he's sending down some tape of a guy, I'm always watching that. Like our recruits, whoever it is, I just like basketball. I love basketball. So I love watching those guys. So that's layer number one is, is this guy a transfer? Is this a high school kid? What do we have? How's he moving on the court? What does his body look like? And just analyzing him from what I'm seeing on the tape. Then I'm seeing him in real life, and we go through our NBA combine measurements. So now we got to know, what's your body fat? What's your weight? What's your wingspan? What's your hand size? And I try to get all that from that standpoint. And then we have performance metrics as well that we'll analyze in terms of like force profiling. So then, not to dive too much into the science side, but basically it's telling us how much force is coming out of one leg from another. Has he had any injuries before that? So now, is there something we have to be aware of that we might have to train around or try to get stronger so we could try to prevent injury as much as we can? So it comes from really analyzing the body. And then once he gets here, it's like, how's he moving day to day? What's his routine before? If he's a transfer guy, does he have a pro mentality already? We had a guy this year that he was an older guy and had been at a different colleges, but he had that pro mentality already. He was all in the weight room every day. Hey, getting his ticks, got a game day lift in, made sure he was activated and was ready to perform. So I think that's important with guys like that. And that's layer I got out of the G League, where I'm able to, the roster there is changing over like day to day. So one day you can have eight guys, and then all of a sudden they waive someone and bring three new guys. So it's, man, I really got to find a way to, like, you have one day. Like, you got guys flying in for a game. It's like, man, I need to know what – I got to get close to this guy in less than 24 hours. So that really taught me a lot with our roster turning over. I had eight NBA vets come through. So those guys are a different approach than the guy that was his first year or a guy coming from overseas. So it was really learning a layer off. Hey, I got to be able to help an NBA vet. I need to be able to help a middle ground G League guy. And then I need to be able to help a guy that doesn't know anything because it's his first time being a pro. So it was really cool, like having those different layers of guys and really being able to try to help each guy in his different journey. Whether that first year guy is going overseas and he might not have a strength coach guy, I was able to be like, hey, this is what we're doing. Meet me at the hotel weight room. Ma'am, this is your pregame lift. This is your postgame lift. This is your postgame conditioning because you didn't play, whatever it might be. And then that he's able to take that with him as he goes overseas. So I thought that was a cool approach, just being able to have so many different personalities, a lot of NBA vets that taught me a lot, and then those middle ground guys and those lower guys where I was able to give some of my knowledge. And now that kind of created a whole journey for me to be able to pass on to these guys now at the collegiate level.
Yeah, no, it sounds like just being adaptable, man. Like, that's like the greatest weapon you can have.
No question, no question.
Especially, it's interesting to, I guess I never really thought of it that way, you definitely obviously want to build your strength programs around the individuals because everybody has different calibers. Everybody has different builds. Some people have never seen it before. As you mentioned, like high school kids maybe haven't lifted as much as maybe a guy who's a 2-year, 3-year transfer. But then getting to know them specifically and having the equipment that can tell how much burst you're getting out of each leg definitely helps because you can get a little more in depth with it. But like the smaller programs that don't have that, I'm in a Division III. Yeah. And we have a strength and conditioning coach. He does a phenomenal job with what he's given. But it's I'm sure it's difficult to be able to chop it up and have to make your own on the fly in one day, not knowing a kid. That's interesting. I really never thought of it from that side.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Wild West down there. So once I got to the NBA, I was like, oh, man, this is a lot different.
What would you, piggybacking off Doug's question, I'm actually just glad you brought that up, Dougie, because what advice would you give to D2, D3 level strength and conditioning guys who may have maybe multiple teams and they're not able, they have to probably be more general because they don't have the ability to be particular. And so what are some best things you would give them to maybe get the best of both worlds, even though they may not have the resources, maybe not as much as the technology, right?
Yeah, no question.
They may not have the Whoop bracelets and things like that. What would you tell the D2, D3s, even the high school coaches?
And
those guys kind of have to do that stuff themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of layers to that. I think not everyone's blessed with the technology pieces. So one of the big things they could do, like even when you're warming up, you can always analyze a guy. So just be in the room. Notice different things. Like you could see if a guy is kind of struggling to load his hip on his left leg, and then like maybe something's going on with his ankle or something. Ask questions, see how they're doing, check in with them, listen to them. So I know some guys might be tired and all trying to get out of stuff. It's not about that. There's always something we could do. Talk to them, see how they're feeling, gauge a level of fatigue. And that doesn't mean they're not doing anything, kind of like what we're going back on. Find something that fits them. Find something that you could get out of them that day. So sometimes you're going to have to adapt your program. Don't be stuck to that. Find something that could accomplish that goal you're looking for with being able to listen to the guys at the same time. Or if a kid's knee or ankle's hurting, find a way to make that feel better so then he can perform and practice or get that tissue ready. So I think it's really important to listen to the guys. And there might be some times when maybe a guy's trying to get away with something, but you being a strength coach or a coach, you can gauge that. And, all right, man, today's not the day. Let's get after it. I think it's just being present in the room and noticing different things. Like, is he shifting? Is his foot popping up? And just looking for different cues where, all right, maybe something's going on there. And that now what could I do to try to load that tissue or take care of that in a different way from the big plan I had for all the guys. So that's something. And then for a high school guy, even if it's a high school coach that's got stuck doing both, I think sometimes high school coaches get scared of, oh, we got a game tomorrow, we can't do anything or whatever it might be. So it's like staying consistent. It's not just don't crush them in the summer and then go away from the weight room. That's not going to gain anything for you. But stay consistent. If your goal is to get the guys in the weight room in season 3 times a week, stick to that. And if one day you feel like you got to do something on the court where you're doing some different movement or a longer warm up, that's fine too. Use that to your advantage. So you don't get stuck on, we just got to be in the weight room. Like sometimes we train on the court before practice. That's fine. So be creative. You have a lot of equipment. You could use a basketball. You could use some body weight stuff. You could add some bands out there. So don't be scared of, oh, we got a game tomorrow. Guys are going to be sore. If you stay consistent, guys are going to be fine. Guys are going to keep improving. Make sure they're still doing something. So I think we did a good job of having some player development days where some guys that didn't play came in, lifted, and we had it tiered off. These are recovery guys. These are middle ground guys. They got to get a lift and shots up. And these are guys that need to stay ready and play 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5. So it's a big thing you see in the NBA. Every team's doing it. And we're blessed enough to have enough guys this year. We were pretty creative on those days and had some good recovery days, performance days, or stay ready days. So I thought that was a cool layer that we got to use this year. So.
Yeah, I love that. That was one of my – and I've been places maybe I've done it before, but this year that's the best I've seen it done. The way it was structured. And what people forget is that may be a really light day for some 25 plus minute guys, but you still see them. And so those days are still relational days, even though, because other guys are still getting invested in, they're still getting poured into. And so now your roster, you don't have this gap of these guys are more important because this is our top eight and they're playing the most minutes and all right, we'll catch up with you other guys later.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, we created this mindset of, hey, we needed everybody.
Yeah.
Because those walk-on guys and some of those other guys, I needed them to be sharp for when they would run the opponent stuff.
Yeah,
so that stay ready stuff helped them be ready so they could contribute because that's the value they
have.
I love the way that was done, man.
For sure.
People don't pull anything off of this. find a way to do that in your organization, whatever it looks like, because that nice. And I think the guys really enjoyed it. Just knowing that they were going to have a day that was for them.
For sure. I agree.
Yeah.
And I got to say, from my playing experience, I truly feel, now this was after I had preseason, you're in season, towards more the middle to end. I really thought I shot better after I lifted. Now, it didn't go heavy. It wasn't anything like crazy. But once you get it, once you've done it, like the first time you touch a weight and you go and try and shoot a ball and you do that for a month, your shot's going to be awful. And everybody always said that doesn't make sense. But I feel like this was just my personal, maybe people have different experiences, but like after I've done it for months, I felt like it was just muscle memory at that point. Your muscles felt more like it was, you did it every single week, as exactly what you mentioned. You got into a rhythm, you did something every single week, and you lifted, even if it was something light before a game, like in the morning of, and then you go play later on in the afternoon. I felt like it always helped me because the muscle memory, you didn't have to think too much about your shot. You weren't tense. I don't know. It just felt a lot better.
No, it's a great point. I think that's for younger guys, going back to that high school coach or whatever, that's the other thing. It's not going to ruin their shot. That's not true. So it's actually a good thing. You're going to get stronger. Just get consistent on, hey, every time after I lift, I'm going to go get some shots up. Just to, like you said, get that muscle memory going, get that touch going. It's not going to be an issue. That's a myth. So don't get stuck on, oh, I'm not going to lift because I can't. I'm not going to shoot. Almost every guy in the NBA lifts before a game, which is crazy. So
yeah, I think it's like they have these old, I don't know what you call them. I was going to say old wives' tales, but that's not what it is. But just like old myths, right? Like people think strength conditioning's got to be all or nothing.
Yeah,
it's got to be all craziness, walk around with look like a coat hanger still in your shirt, or you got to stay away from it. Versus like talk about now how important it is to be functional. You still got to swell up at times and get guys stronger. Especially if that's what that particular guy needs. You may get a transfer that's a 3-year guy and he's 22 years old. He's a grown man.
No question.
Physically.
Yeah.
So he may not need to get blown up. His deal is going to be more functional, maybe more core stuff. So to me, just talk about that a little bit, how you really, you can't be like, you can't paint everything. No painting gets painted with the same brush.
Yeah, right? No question. Like the older brushes. Hey, no, you're right. I know you're right. Yeah, we use a lot of different tools and different pieces and movements that they probably haven't seen before, even if it's an older guy. And that's something I try to hand down to them, whether that's some different 3D movements or some rhythm stuff. Yeah, we got a big toolbox of different things to fit different guys, depending on what we analyze, go over, and really think that they need to fill that bucket. Yeah, I think it's really important to take that layer of not just force feeding an older guy like that might need some different things. And sometimes having some of these guys coming in, they're like, I've never done anything like this before, man. This is different. We have that before. So
yeah, right. No, and that's a good thing when you hear
that. Yeah. We try to do everything I can. And my goal is like, if I'm not helping them on the court, I'm not helping them at all. So my goal is to help them be a better basketball player. If whatever I'm doing in here is not helping them become a better basketball player, then I'm not doing my job. So that's how I look at it from my standpoint. Sometimes that comes from just making a guy feel healthier. It's not necessarily always a performance thing. It could be a guy that's struggling with some ankle, knee, hip issue, whatever it might be. I'm going to do whatever I can from my microscope and with our training staff to make sure I help that guy feel good on the court.
No doubt. And excluding the obvious as to what we mentioned already, like, of course, you're going to get bigger, stronger, faster if you're doing it all right. But I truly think like the two biggest things, excluding those that come out of it, is, as we said in the beginning, like the mental side of it, like changing that mental approach and then how you go onto the court. I really feel like those guys that you watch on the basketball court and you're like, these guys are all over the place. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that's instilled from basketball. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like a lot of that was started in the weight room. And then on top of that, the culture. I think the weight room in the preseason is one of the biggest and best places to build a culture because you're overcoming adversity. You're pushing weights around. Everybody's tired. People don't want to be there at 5 a.m. to go have to go do whatever. I really think that's one of the biggest places where the culture is truly built because everybody just comes together during that time. And you don't have a game tomorrow. You don't have a game in a couple months. So it's like you're just here to better yourselves and better fit the program for the long haul.
No question. Great point. Yeah. I think that's a huge, huge piece of it, bringing all these guys together, shovels in the dirt. Sometimes you got to dig out some dirt. So together.
Yeah.
What, before Dougie gets ready to land the plane here, is there, and Dougie, you might be asking this question anyway, but like, how can, if I'm a GA strength coach, strength conditioning GA, or somebody that, you know, because we talk about this on the time for coaches, what are ways that they can grow and develop and build relationships so they can eventually accelerate. And we say our coaching world is small. You guys, like, that's So how can young strength and conditioning coaches develop themselves individually, but then how can they also learn how to network to rise? And we talk about rising coaches. How can they rise and how can they find ways to advance and find greater opportunities after being a GA or maybe going from an intern to doing other things?
Yeah, no question. I think you can't get stuck on the job. I love basketball. That's all I ever wanted to do when I got into this. So basketball brought me into strength and conditioning. So I understand now it's a sexy thing to do or whatever, but that was always my passion. I was like, all right, I'm going to work in basketball no matter what job that is. Like, I already knew that. And then strength and conditioning just ended up bringing me into basketball. But I think one of the biggest things for me was working with other sports when I was like an intern and stuff. Like, that helped me learn different psychology on players or sports, movement patterns, and I got to steal different things. And at the time, I didn't want to do it. I'm like, I'm basketball. So don't be
right. Right.
That teaches taught me how to work with different coaches and different personalities, all that stuff. And it all kind of bridges together. So I think if you're a GA, intern, whatever it might be, don't be scared of the opportunity. Whatever that's presented, do keep learning from that, keep improving. And eventually you're going to find your way back into your passion. Just stay consistent. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're talking to people. If your goal is to be in basketball and you're working with the tennis team and softball or whatever it might be, just stay consistent. Reach out to basketball guys. Look for help. And don't just chase the limelight. There's good, great coaches everywhere. I know tons of great coaches that you can learn from. Be authentic about it. It shouldn't just be like, hey, how are you doing, coach? You got a job for me?
It's right.
You really want to learn from a guy, actually know his background. What is he doing? Be authentic about it. Don't just reach out to a guy because of his name and ask for a job, or reach out to a guy because, you know, he's at a big school and you don't know anything about him. You got to be authentic. I think that's important on just sticking to that. And if there's a smaller opportunity available somewhere, like, go all in on it. Don't be scared of the opportunity or shy back. Take that next step. You can't figure it out. Sometimes I call it baptism by fire. So a D2 school offers you a basketball job, but you got five other teams. Go take it, man. You're going to learn so much that you're going to be a better coach and you're going to still be able to work with basketball. So don't shy away from that opportunity. Just take it and you'll find your way back. You're not going to get stuck there. If you're working mm-hmm. hard, staying consistent, believing in yourself, I think that's all you can do. And the best foot will lead forward. You'll find your way back into this thing. So don't shy away from the opportunity, I think. That's one of my, and if you need help, and lean on your mentors. So find a good mentor, trust someone. And sometimes when things get tough, you got to lean on certain people. So don't be scared to ask for help or trust those people to guide you in the right direction. So just be smart. I think that's important. Yeah. I think too many guys get caught up on stuff now. I think it's, I got to chase this and this. And they're sending a blast text asking for jobs. And I don't think that's the way to do it. So.
I asked that question on purpose, not fully knowing what you were going to say, but knowing that some of what you were going to say is going to be dialed back into our deal. So I knew that was going to go down.
Yeah.
We talk about that all the time. I was literally at the Final Four just talking to a GA who's got an interview today with South Florida. Right. Right. And I just said, look, man, you know, just I'm going to be yourself. But then while you're here this weekend, take down names of people you met and came across. Mm-hmm. And I said, go old school, start being a hand note guy. Now our whole world's electronic. So if you want to stand out, then start being a hand note guy. Schools still have stationery. If you don't, get on Amazon, you can get your own,
Know,
but just, it's easy to fit in with this cell phone, but you can stand out with a hand note in this day and age.
No question.
But no, that was solid gold, man. Yeah, great wisdom, brother.
I saw it recently, actually, in Indy. There was a kid, younger kid, just graduated, came up. Second question he asked was, so are there any positions? First one was, how's everything going? Good. Second one was, are there any positions?
It's wild.
It is wild.
But no, we appreciate you for being on here.
No, it's it. I had to laugh. I had to laugh. I almost spit my water out. But you see, I had a couple of whiskeys last night, hydrating over here. But no, it's something that we can't ever say enough. And it's part of this pod is tough love. And I wear this lid for a reason, because, again, it's a subtle shot to our profession to don't skip steps. Be okay with being great where you are. Treat the gig you got. It's the only gig in the world. And then the next one tends to slap you upside the head. It's just how it goes. But no, man, again, thank you. Just this year, man, you were unbelievable to work with. I'm going to miss being around you every day, because that, Doug, if you will talk about somebody that brings juice to the gym, just find your way out to San Diego at some point and watch a practice, and then you come back and tell me what you saw, because you lit our guys' fuses every single day, man. After a win, after multiple, couple tough losses in a row, you never let the circumstances steal your juice or your joy for what you do, man. And the fellas felt it. I love watching it. And like I said, man, professionally, we're broken apart right now, but relationally, we're just getting started, brother. I appreciate you, man.
All love. Yeah, me too, Coach. All love. Nothing but love for you. Always. Thanks for having me on here.
Thank you, man.
That's something I didn't touch on either, what you're saying right there. You got to come in consistent every day, even I'd be on me too. So, no, win, loss. I think sometimes we can't.
Yeah.
In the weight room, you can't get lost in that win or that loss. You got to stay consistent. So, I try to bring that good energy and bring us up. So, sometimes that's for you guys to get on. So I can't get caught up in that.
Right. Yeah. Great point, man.
Not easy, but yeah.
We get it. Yeah, no, but the fellas felt it, right? Because they're surrounded by a lot of conditional people, even their own friends on campus. You drop a few games and they'll walk past you, and then you win five in a row and they'll stop and say hi. You know, exactly. So that's just the way it is. But and what we do and the positions we're in, we can't be like everybody else, and we have to find a way to be exceptional. And one of those ways is being transformational, as far as instead of being transactional, because they're surrounded by a lot of transactional people.
Yeah.
And we got to tip the scales the other direction and be those people that want the best for them, but don't want anything from them.
Yeah, exactly.
At the same time, two things can be true.
No question. Big time.
Well, Ernie, thank you very much again for sharing some time, sharing some insight with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I know before here. Of course, Alec. I mean, you guys are saying it, but obviously I've heard some great things. I talked to Mage maybe on a day-to-day basis, and he said a lot of great things about you prior to hopping on here. So it's great to be able to get to meet you, hear your side of things, and really do appreciate you for taking some time.
No question. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And for all of you, as we always like to say, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your favorites, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Keep working. Keep rising, coaches. Talk soon.
Coach, are you still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help trade in your machine any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. Plus, you get free shipping on your purchase of a brand new Dr. Dish.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.